Turning our attention now to the common cold and a plant called Echinacea. Echinacea is a wildflower. I think it's also known as the purple coneflower. In popular lore, it's believed to have medicinal benefits. It's named for the prickly scales in its seed head, which resembles the scales of an angry hedgehog. And Echinacea, that term is Greek for hedgehog, as a matter of fact. You find the flower in meadows and prairies of Midwestern plains, certainly here in Wisconsin. And the supplement has been used in homemade remedies such as teas, dried herbs, liquid extracts. Well, how effective is Echinacea in treating the common cold? Dr. Bruce Barrett, our guest now, is an associate professor of family medicine at the UW-Madison. He was the lead researcher on a study of the medicinal benefits of the over-the-counter herbal treatment, Echinacea. So I'm glad to have him with us today. Certainly we hear a lot about Echinacea, and it's great to have somebody who's done some research and taken a close look at this on the program to answer my questions and, of course, to answer your questions as well. And if you have some questions, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Dr. Bruce Barrett with us by phone. Dr. Barrett, hi. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you, and glad to be here.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've had a cold now for how long has it been, Jim? About a week and a half, thereabouts? About a week and a half? Yeah, he's saying about a week and a half. It hasn't gone away yet. Is it going to do me any good to be ingesting this wildflower?
Well, probably not per the results of our study.
Oh. Well, that's too bad.
I'm so sorry to tell you.
Well, tell us about this study. You had a trial with, what, more than 700 people?
Yes, we did.
How did you organize that?
Well, it took us 5 years. I've actually been interested in this for about a decade, and we did the first North American trial with 150-ish people back in year 2000 and didn't find any positive results. And then in the subsequent years, that NIH, National Institutes of Health, put out a request for applications to do research on placebo effect. So we designed this trial both to look at placebo effects and the effects of Echinacea, thinking that Echinacea would be a good straw man or a good choice to be in there, because we could both look for possible effects that were related to the actual active ingredients, as well as possible effects of thinking that you're getting something that works.
So some subjects, I assume, got Echinacea and others got a placebo.
It was actually divided into four groups. You're absolutely right. A quarter, 25% of the subjects got no pills at all. A quarter got a blinded placebo. A quarter got blinded Echinacea, meaning people in those two groups didn't know which they got. And then a full quarter, 25%, got Echinacea, and they knew it and we knew it. So overall, half the people got Echinacea, a quarter got a blinded placebo, and a quarter didn't get a pill.
Okay, so, well, the quarter that didn't get the pill knew that, for sure.
They did. And those that got the Echinacea, we told them it was Echinacea. I think most of them believed us, but you never know what people think about the scientists studying them.
What effect did it have on reducing the duration of people's colds?
Not much, but it trended in there being some benefit. So there was, on average, one-half-day reduction in approximately a seven-day cold and about a 10% reduction in overall severity of all the cold symptoms. But that didn't make statistical significance. So, you know, you really could interpret this two different ways. One, you could say, there might be a small benefit there that's pointed towards a small benefit but didn't prove it. Or you could interpret it as, well, it didn't make statistical significance, so this could all be due to chance, and there might not be any benefit whatsoever.
Well, Allison in Madison is on board here. Let's turn to Allison. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. I was calling in because I was actually a subject in this study.
Oh.
at least I'm 90% sure I was. It was out of St. Mary's Hospital, and it was in the fall of about 5 years ago. And at the time, I know what I had was a placebo because the doctor told me afterwards. So it didn't help me at all. And there was a questionnaire that said, did you believe echinacea could help and stuff like that? And I didn't really believe it at the time. But my beliefs have actually changed since then. And I've taken it in much, much, much higher doses at the very onset of cold symptoms. And on more than one occasion, I feel like I've avoided the full onset of a cold. And I just wonder if it may be, I'm pretty sure that this study studied it at the over-the-counter dose. But I also was wondering whether it might be something that doesn't benefit everybody, and that's why it doesn't come up very statistically significant, but some people do get benefit from it.
Oh. What do you think, Dr. Barrett?
I think Allison brings up excellent points, both on the dosing helping one person but not another. The problem with doing trials is you have to lump people together. You have to look for on-average benefits, so you have to compare a whole group of people to another whole group of people. And if there was a really large effect of benefit, then that would have to have been contraacted by either no benefit at all or perhaps some harm in the group in the other group in order to come up with an on average small benefit. But that's a very good point. And the point on dosing is also a good point, which we don't really know. There is no prescription strength to echinacea. A lot of the trials that were reported negative in the past have been criticized for using very low doses. We used a relatively high dose of the ingredients that come from the roots of echinacea. So it's at or above the average levels that are available over the counter or recommended by herbalists.
Tell me, tell us a little bit more about the chemical properties of echinacea. You say it comes from the roots?
Well, there are around a dozen species, and about three of them are used medicinally, and two of them especially, and Echinacea purpurea and Echinacea angustifolia. And the two major kinds of preparations are those made from the above-ground parts, the leaves and flowers, and those made from the roots. The stuff from the leaves and flowers is much richer in polysaccharides and a few other ingredients, and the ingredients that are more commonly found in the roots are alkamides. And most of the research is pointing towards the alkamides as having stronger immune-modulating effects. But it's all still not well understood, as much in science tends to be.
Were there side effects seen by people who took the echinacea?
No side effects at all. We monitored for several, for stomach upset and dizziness and rash, because one trial out of Seattle a few years ago in children suggested that possibly rashes were caused by echinacea. But everything that we monitored for was flatly negative for side effects, so we really didn't see any risks.
And I'm wondering about, you mentioned children, what were the ages of the people in your study and how...
It was a wide age range group, from 12 to 80. 12 to 17, of course, had to have their parents' permission, but we thought they were also old enough to understand the study, so we had them consent. We gave them information themselves, but they still had to have a parent agree to it. And then up to age 80, so we had the full gamut of ages, pretty much.
Yeah, and were the samples, was it a stratified sample then, or...?
Yeah, good question. No, it was not. It was randomized across the entire spectrum of ages. So we were able to go and look for potential influences of age and gender and so on, but we didn't stratify by those. And the subsample of children was small enough, we really didn't have power to detect benefits within different age groups.
Our guest today, Dr. Bruce Barrett, talking with him about the common cold today and also about his research and looking at echinacea and whether or not it can help stop the cold in its tracks or at least alleviate some of the cold symptoms. You can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Give us a call, shoot us an email. So should cold sufferers stop taking echinacea if they think it helps them?
I don't think they should, but that's really a personal decision. That The problem is we don't have any proven effective treatments for common cold. If you talk to 100 people, you'll probably get 101 different treatments that they'll tell you are effective for them, and they might be. You know, just because science hasn't proven the benefit doesn't mean that there isn't some. But with no proven effective treatments out there, and if individuals have actually had their own, you know, perceived benefit either from medicinal reasons or placebo reasons, and there are no known major risks, I hate to hesitate to tell them to stop using something.
Yeah. Well, Nikki in Milwaukee's on board. Let's go to Nikki. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm driving, so I'll try to make this brief, but I have used echinacea. In fact, I do use echinacea in its tincture form. It's liquid form of drops in a small amount of water at the onset of a cold, just as I'm beginning to feel symptoms of a cold. And if I do that for one day, I don't get a cold. But I've always been told that the effectiveness of echinacea is at the onset of the cold rather than during the cold. So I'm questioning whether the testing is effective as the recommended use of echinacea.
Yeah. That's a good question. How were they dosed? Were people asked to take echinacea just regularly, even if they didn't have a cold? Or how'd that work, Dr. Barrett?
No, this was not a prevention trial. This was a treatment trial. We put up advertisements and had people call in, and they were screened out if any cold symptoms were more than 36 hours old. So they had to get in and get their first dose of echinacea or placebo within 36 hours of the very first symptom. And about half of the people came in within 24 hours of the very first symptom. And so we did a subsample analysis to see if those who came in earlier, who started it earlier, looked like they got more benefit. And it trended towards maybe a tiny bit more benefit, but already the trends were pretty small. So this was an early treatment trial, within 36 hours of first symptom.
Okay, well, thank you, but I swear by it in its liquid form.
All right. Thanks, Nikki.
Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Our guest today, Dr. Bruce Barrett, Associate Professor of Family Medicine at the UW-Madison, as we talk with him about the common cold and echinacea as well. I'm Larry Mueller. We'll be back after a quick look at the news here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Dr. Bruce Barrett, Associate Professor of Family Medicine at UW-Madison and the lead researcher on a study of the medicinal benefits of the over-the-counter herbal treatment, echinacea, in treating the cold. And I have a cold, as I've mentioned. I was listening to Corey Flintoff in the news. Sounded like Corey's got a cold as well. Kind of a common thing this time of the year, I believe. And Dr. Barrett's had some interesting research. More than 700 people in his trial and experiments. And maybe you could just, for those just joining us, sort of reiterate what you found in that trial, Dr. Barrett.
It looked like there might be about a 10% reduction in overall severity and about a half a day reduction in the length of the cold. These weren't proven because we didn't make statistical significance.
Are there negatives associated with taking echinacea? In other words, are there some people who shouldn't take it?
Possibly, at least for theoretical reasons, people who have autoimmune or enhanced immune-type diseases like rheumatoid arthritis might want to refrain from it because we know that echinacea does interact with the immune system. People call it immune-stimulating. We have dozens of labs around the world that have confirmed that there are pharmacological immune effects of echinacea products. And although we haven't ever proven that those effects would be harmful to people who have autoimmune or immune-enhanced diseases, it might be prudent to stay away from it.
Jim emailed and says they use echinacea as an immune booster and a preventive for colds rather than a cure. So he thinks your research is faulty.
Well, you can test either one, and there have been about a half dozen trials looking at echinacea as a preventative, where you'd have to take it every day, at least during the cold season. And if you put all those together, it looks like there might indeed be a benefit of preventing colds, but it looks like maybe a 15%, at most 20% reduction. So if on average you had, let's say, two colds per year, you might have to take the echinacea for 2.5-3 years before you will have prevented one of them.
Oh.
So maybe.
What Chuck emailed as well. What's the best way for someone with a cold to prevent spreading it to other people?
Now that's probably the most important question for public health anyway yet asked today, because that's really the key, is to prevent giving your cold to somebody else. So in the first few days of a cold or flu, you're shedding lots of viruses. That's the time to stay away from other people, especially if you're sneezing and coughing. Every time you touch your face, you're probably picking up 100 or 1,000 or more viral particles. Every time you touch somebody else's hand, shake their hand, you're giving them a bunch that they can then put on their face to get in their nose. So hand washing and contact avoidance, and if you're coughing, wearing a mask. If you have an accidental cough or sneeze you can't control and don't have time to get out a handkerchief, use the inside of your elbow. Keeping from spreading the disease is really the key.
Susan in Demma, Indiana, has been waiting a while. Thank you for waiting, Susan. Hello.
Hello.
And what's on your mind?
Well, I've given the echinacea with golden seal in liquid form to my children when they were small in their sipper cups, and then all the way up until my son's in college right now at Purdue, and he takes it. And we average a cold a year only, if that. And I do daycare for small children in our home, who I call little petri dishes. And they end up bringing everything you can imagine. Only problem I've had is if I get a hold of a strep virus and I'm taking the echinacea, it seems like it really goes overboard. And I end up covered from head to toe in spots from the plaque psoriasis. And when I brought it up to my dermatologist, they told me that in conjunction with taking the echinacea, the strep comes out through my skin, and it increases my immune response. And is there any way I could... I love the benefits of it, but when it comes to getting, you know, some type of virus while I'm taking it, then I'm I'm just covered. I look like I've got chicken pox.
Oh.
I think you'd get a couple different kinds of opinions from physicians on that. And there's just a dermatologist on this show last hour.
Right.
He would have had opinions. Because echinacea does seem to interact with and maybe enhance immune responsiveness, and because psoriasis is kind of thought of to be an inflammatory autoimmune type disease, and if you get rashes, you know, if your psoriasis flares up when you're taking the echinacea, it might be prudent not to take it. It's tricky. The first part of your comment was around children and daycare, and at this point, there's really only been one good trial of echinacea in kids. It was done by Jim Taylor et al. Out in Seattle, published in a major journal a few years ago, and they didn't find any obvious benefit. But there were two findings worth noting, I think. One of them was that the kids had an increase in rash. Instead of about 2% of the placebo group had rash, and about 7.5% in the echinacea group, and that made statistical significance. That's the only side effect ever shown in a trial. But they also appeared to have a little bit of a benefit in terms of preventing the next cold. They allowed the kids to have up to three colds during the course of the study, and those who were randomly assigned echinacea the first time around ended up being less likely to get a second cold, even though their first cold was just as severe and long. So it's hard to know if those are red herring findings or real findings, it's interesting.
Yeah, it is. Thank you for calling, Susan. Carrie in Onalaska, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It's a little off the subject. I started using a neti pot religiously about a year ago, and when I feel like I have a cold coming on, I'll do it maybe three times a day rather than just in the morning like usual, and I've had really good success with it, and I'm just wondering what the doctor's opinion is on using a neti pod, or the evidence is about it. Is it successful because I think it works, or is it really working?
I actually recommend neti pot to most of my patients, especially for allergy and chronic sinus type symptoms.
Now, what is a neti pot?
Ancient Ayurvedic tradition from India, or at least that part of the world, and it's a small teapot which you put mild salt water in. You put your head over the sink and put it horizontal and tilt it with one nostril up and pour the mild salt water into the nostril, and it goes back and washes out and cleans the upper nasal cavities and may come dripping out the other end. You want to have some Kleenex.
Yeah.
But nasal wash has gotten lots of support over the last 5-10 years, including a major trial from University of Wisconsin by David Robigo. But we don't really know for common cold. There's not enough evidence to say one way or the other. But because it's presumed so safe, I do recommend it, given the fact that there really are unlikely to be side effects, and it's very cheap.
Yeah, dirt cheap is right. Thanks, Carrie. Carol in Plymouth, Wisconsin. Let's go to you. Hi, Carol.
Great. Thanks,
Carol, are you there?
Hi there. I'm calling because... yes.
Go ahead, Carol. Did we lose her? Ah, I guess we lost her. Well, let's go to Rusty in Springstead then. Hi, Rusty.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Well, there's a spray that I had bought from a homeopathic doctor a few years back. And for me anyway, most of my colds always start in the throat. And I wanted something I could put in my throat. And she gave me a spray. It had a very high potency of echinacea and golden seal. It also had 500 parts per million of colloidal silver. And the main ingredient in there was cayenne pepper. And that probably wouldn't work for some people. But anyway, it was in liquid form, and I used that religiously if I just feel a hint of a sore throat coming on. And man, oh man, it did wonders. And she had told me, the doctor had told me that the cayenne pepper was one of the best antiviral agents out there, way better than any of the other that were in there, also colloidal silver.
Yeah. What do you think, Dr. Barrett?
Well, homeopathy is fascinating. The idea that you can take something and keep diluting it, and the more dilutions, the more potent it becomes, runs a counter to most of what pharmacology and modern medicine is based on. But there are trials, and there is some evidence. I'm not an expert on it at all. I do happen to love a little bit of cayenne pepper in my food. And if it seems to work for you, Rusty, I think that's not a bad idea.
And John and Madison, sort of along those lines, John has tried oil of oregano, as recommended by a naturopath. He says flu virus cannot exist in an environment containing oil of oregano.
That may be true. I'm more familiar with oregano as an Italian spice in food cooking. I don't really know anything about research on it.
Sorry. Well, now let's go to Carol in Plymouth. Hi, Carol.
Hi, I'm back. I'm commenting with regard to what would be called a pure silver therapy, or in one case, I'm looking at a bottle that says Sovereign Silver, Silver Hydrosol. Whatever I'm using, every time I get the symptoms for a cold coming on, I put some of that in my nose as a nasal spray, or take a teaspoonful of it, and within probably 8 hours, all symptoms disappear. And what I'm doing is killing the germs that are in my throat, I think. And I got that from a health food store, and I haven't had a cold in arbitrarily 10 years, although I just heard you say the thing about cayenne pepper, which I do use.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say for sure. Some silver preparations are actually caustic, and we use a silver nitrate stick to stop bleeding with minor surgery, and that would kill cells directly and act kind of like a branding iron. But other preparations, silver can be combined with lots of different things, and at really low potency, it might be useful. I haven't seen any research on it, so I'm a bit of a loss.
Let's take some more call. Well, actually, let's take an email here. Peggy emails. She takes vitamin D3 every day, and when she gets a tickle in her throat, she adds echinacea and increases the D3, and she's not had a cold in about 2.5 years.
Well, there is a lot of vitamin D research going on. I think it was probably 100 years ago we realized that vitamin D, I wasn't around, but my predecessors realized that vitamin D was a necessary vitamin, and without it, you'd get rickets and other terrible things, and they actually have, you know, foodstuffs, milk fortified with it. And then for decades, it just kind of petered on, people not taking much interest, although at Wisconsin, there's been an active vitamin D research program for decades.
Yeah.
But just in the last few years, a lot more, and it actually makes good sense, because during the winter months we get less sunlight, and therefore vitamin D gets activated much less in our skin, and we do have very high prevalence rates of low vitamin D levels in our bodies in the northern hemisphere during the winters, and that's of course when we're more likely to get colds and flu. So the idea that vitamin D might very well prevent or be, important in the colds and flu situation, epidemiology, might vary. It's an important research question that hasn't yet been addressed, and I'm hoping that in the next couple years, ongoing research right now will really start giving us some answers.
I want to go back to the echinacea itself again and talk about its purity or perhaps lack of it. There was an independent company that tests the purity of health, wellness, and nutrition products. I think it's consumerlab.com, if you go there. And they found out that of 11 brands of an echinacea purchased for testing, only 4 contained what was stated on their labels. 10% had no echinacea at all, and half were mislabeled as to the species of echinacea in the product. So that's a kind of an issue.
It is. There's been a lot of controversy the last decade or two on how herbal products and supplements should be regulated and tested. And to my knowledge, they're still considered mostly foodstuffs to the extent that they have to be pure, free of toxic contaminants. Unless somebody can go and sue for damages, I don't think that companies are held responsible for what's in products. But that being said, my understanding is also that the major herbal product manufacturers have really stepped up the quality ante over the last several years, and there's a lot less of that going on now, and that the products are now more likely to contain stated ingredients and to be tested according to a good manufacturing practices for the active ingredients than they were even 5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I know for hundreds of years, Native Americans have taken echinacea for a whole variety of symptoms other than for reducing the effects of cold. As far as you know, has it helped in treating other diseases?
You're absolutely right. This is a Native American discovery, and we owe tribute to them. The knowledge of echinacea's potential medicinal benefits transferred from Native Americans to the white settlers, and then due to widespread use and apparent effective use, people thought it was working. It was included in our national pharmacopoeia, and then in 1920 or so, a German scientist named George Madaus took echinacea samples back to Europe and grew them, and that's where most of the foundational research was done. They first started proving that there were immune effects back in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s in Germany. So it's used widely for lots of conditions, but nothing, you have to have 3 or 4 good trials to prove something, and I've never seen 3 or 4 good trials on the same, using the same inclusion criteria, the same outcomes, the same disease being treated, all saying, giving the same results. And without that level of scientific certainty, I don't know what we can say.
I'm wondering about laboratories. We know what's in echinacea. Has it been broken down or recreated in the lab so that the the things in echinacea that might be useful for us have been produced synthetically or in some other way?
Yeah, yes, to some extent, yes. I think that we're still discovering new chemicals. I mentioned the alkamides earlier, and they're the oil-soluble active constituents mostly found in roots. A German scientist named Rudy Bauer, I think, characterized the first two or three dozen of these, and a few of them have been synthesized. There's actually an active NIH-supported research group in Iowa, in Ames, that has also has a synthetic chemist. And they've extracted, purified, and then resynthesized and characterized the molecular nature of a few of these alkamides. And there's a group in Australia that's shown that they're both taken up into the body and excreted, so we can, you know, prove that there's some pharmacokinetics, that they really exist and are being taken up. You know, it's still kind of in the infancy. You know, where penicillin was when it was first discovered, it may peter out. I mean, trial didn't find big benefit, and nobody else has really proven big benefit.
Elizabeth in Madison, let's turn to you now. Hi, thank you for calling.
Well, hi. I just wanted to put a word in for another native plant in the area, the elder plant. And gosh, I went to a health food store looking for echinacea, and the woman said, oh, you know what, elderberry is even better. And so I tried it, and I loved it. And when I look it up in my herb book, it just raves about the medicine, immune boosting and cold fighting and all sorts of other properties of the elder plant.
Well, you know, elderberry, I would guess, would contain, I'm just guessing here, flavonoids, which I think are also found in echinacea. And would they have some flavonoids? Would have some benefit?
Potentially, for sure. In fact, there are a couple of preliminary trials on elderberry. If I remember right, one was actually with proven influenza, and looked like it had significant benefit. But if I remember right, it was also fairly small and preliminary. So I would be hopeful that we'd get more information on elderberry for cold and flu in the future.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate the call. And let's turn to Jess in Milwaukee next. Hi, Jess.
How you doing today?
Great. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, the idea that echinacea is not considered a drug is the reason why the FDA won't approve it for widestream medical use. They, according to their laws or their rules or what have you, only a drug can cure a disease or an illness. And if echinacea doesn't have the status thereof, they won't approve it as medicine. The doctors, therefore, will not prescribe it, will not really look into it. Homeopathics and home whatnot, home birthers and so on, tend to use the stuff, and they go to these practitioners of homeopathy.
Comment, Dr. Barrett?
Yeah, there was a major change in how the FDA looked at supplements with the Dietary Supplement Health Education Act. I think it's over a decade ago now, and what that really allowed was some claim of benefit by the botanical or supplement manufacturers, but it couldn't be, the caller is absolutely right, that it couldn't be a medicinal claim. So you can't claim that these can either diagnose, prevent or treat a disease, but you can claim that they can support immune function or support mental health or physical health. Or everybody's seen lots and lots of advertisements, so we know what's allowed, how far they've gotten with it. But he's also right that the doctors won't take as much interest in something until the FDA has looked at the evidence and given it some kind of a thumbs-up approval.
Yeah. Where is your study going to go from here? Or is this it for the study?
Well, there are publications that are going to come out on the placebo effects, so I can't talk about those yet because they're not out. But the study itself is done. One of the first callers today mentioned she was a participant in it 5 years ago, and it took us 5 years to gather all the data, another year to analyze it, and now we're getting all the publications out. And whether or not I would do another echinacea study is looking a little doubtful. I've been in it for 10 years, and that's a good chunk of my life.
that is a long, long time to spend studying one thing. Well, what's next for you after the papers?
Well, I definitely am going to stay in the cold and flu network. I'm interested. We don't have good prevention or treatments for either, and they are still a scourge, as you are experiencing.
Yes.
And our elders are still dying from influenza in pretty high numbers. So we've just done a trial on looking at behavioral interventions to prevent. So we got people to do mindfulness meditation, train them for 8 weeks or 8 weeks of progressive exercise. I can't say anything about the results, but I am going to stay in the cold and flu area, and hopefully I'll be able. We together will find some answers over the next years.
Dr. Barrett, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry.
Dr. Bruce Barrett, Associate Professor of Family Medicine at the UW-Madison, as he talked about the cold, the common cold, and echinacea. Tomorrow we'll take a look at tracking viruses from deep water supply wells. That tomorrow on the Ideas Network.